When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes. Good morning. Welcome to Love Babs Love Talk. If it's around 9 o'clock, you know it's time for Love Babs Love Talk. I'm Babs Rawls Ivy. We are talking Breast Cancer Awareness Month, specifically about African American women. So I have my Sora in studio this morning. Hello. Is that her? Okay. Paulette, how are you?
I'm good.
It's nice to see you.
Yes. Good to see you,
sir. So Dawn White Bracey, who is my love, I told her, because she usually comes on every year, and she couldn't come this year. So she said, I will send you some survivors. So I was like, okay. So she said, Rhonda Austin and Paulette Moore Rogers. I said, well, I know Paulette Moore Rogers. That's my sorority sister.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm blessed.
Happy Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yes.
And you are a survivor.
I am a survivor.
How long have you been a survivor?
Well, my journey started in February of 2013, my first journey. I have had breast cancer twice, so I'm a survivor two times.
Wow, yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was twice.
Yeah, twice.
Okay, yeah, so give me the story.
Well, you know,
what do you feel like talking about?
I always made sure I had my mammogram.
Mm-hmm.
And my usual mammogram was in February in 2013. And, you know, you go every year.
Uh-huh.
And I went and I didn't think anything about it when the radiologist said,
hi, Rhonda. Go sit over there, Rhonda. In that chair. Rhonda just got here. Hello, Ms. Austin. Sit down, pull the mic in front of you and grab a headset. We're going to have a conversation. So she's talking about her journey.
So I didn't think anything about it when the radiologist nurse told me to step into the office.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in and they said that something unusual was on the ultrasound.
Okay.
I always had to get a mammogram and an ultrasound because I have dense breasts.
Okay.
So when she said, oh, we want you to come in.
So hold on a second. So grab the microphone in front of you. The whole arm. Yes, pull it. No. Just pull the arm. Okay. And then grab a headset so you can hear us and you can hear yourself. I'm sorry. Okay. All this technical stuff. I know, right? Okay. So something was wrong.
Or you had
dense breasts.
Yes.
They saw something on the scan.
Yes.
Okay.
So they said I needed to have a biopsy. So
mm-hmm.
So, you know, you sit there calm and.
Tell you this at the moment that they look at the scan, or do they call you?
No, they told me then.
Really?
They said, yeah, it was like maybe a Thursday, and they said, "Well, we want you to come in on Monday." Like, oh God, you know.
That was
so
quick.
So you sit there calmly. You know?
Uh huh.
And you know, I kind of fell apart when I got to my car. And, of course, I was by myself because, you know.
Because you didn't think anything of it. It's like, I've done this
a gazillion times. I've done this 100 times.
Yeah.
So then I kind of fall apart and then I go home. And I think that particular day, my husband and I had some words before I went to the mammogram. And, you know, but anyway, I told him. And he said, oh, it's going to be all right. Well, when I went for the biopsy, I really wasn't prepared for it. Because, you know, I had to lay out on this table, head down, this hole in the table, my breast hanging out in this hole. And they numbed the area, and it hurt, you know. And, you know, it was probably, I think, an hour. Maybe it wasn't, but,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you just lay there, and you're thinking about, what the heck is this going to be? And, you know, you think about, you hear about breast cancer, and you know, all of this stuff is going through your head, and you know, I'm praying, and you know, and then the next week, my GYN called me and told me that I did have breast cancer. It was DCIS stage zero, you know, so it was a little relief, but still breast cancer. And you hear breast cancer, you hear cancer and all kinds of things go through your head. And of course, it was on the weekend, and she gave me the name of Dr. Zuckerman to call. But of course, I get on the internet, and you read and read, and that was the worst thing because I became overwhelmed.
Okay, stay in front of the mic.
You know, it's like, oh, gee, you know. So finally, the little voice in my head, the Holy Spirit, said, put that down. And I really did, because I became so anxious, you know. And I didn't need to be anxious, particularly on the weekend and particularly before I called the doctor. So anyway, I did call the Dr. Zuckerman's office, and the secretary said, well, she's booked up for 6 months.
It's like, whoa.
Oh, Jesus, you know. And
that makes you afraid, right? Because you're like, six months?
6 months, you know, I can't wait for that. So then, you know, of course, I whispered a prayer. And then I called my GYN, and she gave me another doctor in the same practice. And when I called back, the secretary said to me, she said, you know what? Let me see what I can do. Let me see if I can get you in to Dr. Zuckerman. And at that point, I knew that God was in charge, and that he was going to orchestrate. He was going to orchestrate things. And sure enough, God did. And at that point, peacefulness just came over me, and I knew everything was going to be all right. And it was. I had the best team. I had females. I had Dr. Zuckerman as my surgeon, and she referred me to Dr. Silver, who was a compassionate, loving oncologist that is very supportive of Sister's journey. And I had a radiologist, Dr. Chung, and my treatment was at St. Rayfield's. And I have to say, St. Rayfield was such a caring, loving environment that it just made my journey so much more easier. You know, it was a journey.
So what was your treatment like?
Well, my treatment was radiation and a lumpectomy.
Okay.
So that was my first journey. So, and it was a journey. It was difficult. I was working part-time. And the part of my journey that was difficult was that Hattie Turner, who was like my mom, was at that time very sick.
Yes.
And eventually died. And God gave me the strength to be able to visit her almost every day while I was going through my treatment and going through radiation. And God truly does give you the strength. And that was my distraction, so that I didn't dwell on me, but I had her to stay strong for. And I truly thank God for that. Because I don't remember a lot about me going through my radiation. I was working part-time because I had retired. And I was working part-time as a social worker. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm always running late. But I made sure that I needed to leave my office no matter what. And I told them I needed to go for my radiation treatments at St. Rayfield. And I left because I needed to get there for my treatment on time without rushing, to sit there to calm myself before I went into this huge machine for 2 seconds. So, you know, you just have to be calm and you have to be faithful, because it is a journey. But when you have support systems, when you have a good medical team, when you understand that it's not a death wish, that you have to understand that it's something that you just have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are so many other women. And I have to mention, I mean, Sister's Journey and all the other women and men that have gone through breast cancer just gave me energy. Gave me energy and support, because when we go to meetings, you hear so many other journeys. You hear so many other women that talk about it. It's like, my little journey was nothing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have the symptoms, but you get through it. Mm-hmm. And even my second, the next year, or year and a half, because I had February 2013, so July of 2014, I go for my mammogram, and they saw something on the film again. They said, oh, it's probably nothing. Well, you know what? If I had said, okay, well, it's nothing. Well, guess what? The second time it was invasive, and it was stage one, and I had to have chemo. Mm-hmm. So if I had said, oh, well, I'll come back 6 months later, it could have been truly a different journey. It could have been different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thankful that I followed through and that it was something.
So, Rhonda,
hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Get
closer to the mic. Yes, and pull it down so it's not directly in your face. Just lower it.
You can tell I am not technologically.
That's all right.
This is low.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. How are you?
I'm good.
Welcome.
I'm good. Thank you.
And you are a member of Sisters Journey as well?
Yes, I am.
And what is your story? Because we are talking about breast cancer awareness, specifically with African-American women.
My story is similar to Paulette's. Let's see. Oh, gosh.
And you're young. How old are you?
57.
Girl, you look 30.
Thanks.
You know, black women, you can't ever really tell what black women are.
No.
You could be 10 to 110.
It's those jeans, those jeans, you know?
And Rhonda was one of my kids at the Q House.
Yes,
I
was.
I worked at the Q House many years ago.
Hey, how old are you?
I'm 70.
See, those jeans, I
tell
you.
This is why you can't mess with black women, because you can't really tell.
No.
They'd be like, what, 70? Okay, Paulette. I have to see your driver's license after this.
Uh-oh.
So, Rhonda, what's your story?
Okay, my story, let's see, began in, 2006. Yes, Paula. We're here. Yes, I was. At least, you know, you don't think that you're going to get breast cancer. But it's, ironically enough, I lost my mom in 91 to breast cancer, and by the time she discovered it, or either she just was in denial, nor did she have a GYN that was doing routine checks.
What's your mother's name?
Mildred Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And she was 58.
Really?
Yes, 58. No one had told her, you know, you should be going, you know, having a, you should be doing breast exams, so. You know, and I'm a nurse, so I was, you know, came home from work, my mom just says, oh, check this out. So, of course, it's like the size of a golf ball, and I'm like, oh, my God. And I just knew, you know. So I called her doctor, and, you know, within that day or so, we went to the doctor, and then they set her up for a biopsy and everything. And at that point, it was large. It was invasive. So she needed to have surgery. She just, you know, she did a double mastectomy.
So everything went really quickly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because I was like on it. And
yes.
So I went through that. I went through her journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a reality check, because at that point I was like, okay.
Let me think about myself.
Yes. I had two other sisters. So I said, one of us, I knew that one of us are going to have breast cancer. Not that I was claiming it or anything, but just, you know, I don't know. I just knew that.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest sister had a scare. Hers were just calcification. So that, you know, which was great. And then in mine, I just kind of discovered mine. I had, you know, exams from my GYN, and he had felt, because I was young, you know, at that point, they didn't really want to do mammograms on
women under 40, or
yes, exactly,
you know, so, that kind of thing.
So when I felt this nodule I had never felt before, I told him, and he had to really push through the insurance company to doctor up the report so that they would do the mammogram, which is crazy. So they weren't sure at that point that, you know, that this was cancer. So then I went for my biopsy. Even at the biopsy, you know, I never forget the woman. She said, oh, so I'm crying. I'm hysterical. And she goes, oh, well, 9 out of 10, you know, cases, it's benign. So don't cry, sweetie. So I was like, oh, okay, yep. Mm-hmm. So sure enough, they do it. I go home. I do not get a call back. I didn't know anything about it until I go. I, you know, around that time, I was also having some testing. I had a surgery done for my OBGYN doctor. So I go back to my doctor for a follow-up for the procedure that I had done. And I'm figuring, well, nobody called me. So, you know, no news is good news. Mm-hmm. And he didn't call me. So sure enough, I go for my follow-up and my chart is there. The, you know, the tech, medical tech, you know, brings me in a room, does all the, you know, the height, weight, you know, that kind of stuff. So my chart is there. So, of course, I'm a nurse. So I'm going to look at my chart. So I look at my chart and all I mean, I could still just, you know, I know this. I see this very clear. And all I see, I'm reading my report for my test. But then I also see my results from my mammogram, from my biopsy. And I just couldn't talk. I just saw mucinous carcinoma and I'm like freaking out.
But so no one called
me. One called me. So I'm freaking out. I can't, I swear, I couldn't talk. And my doctor comes in. He's like, what's going on with you? And I was just, it was like a state of shock I was in. And so then I'm just point. All I could do was point to my chart. And you know, I'm trying to say, I have cancer. I have, you know. He immediately was, you know, and I lost it.
He didn't notice the chart? Like he didn't see
he
it?
He didn't get a report.
Wow.
He
wow.
didn't get a report.
Oh, my God,
no,
that's
called,
scary.
That's very scary. No one called him to tell him anything, because usually they give the doctor, the referring doctor, a heads up so that they can contact you to come in. So that was my journey. That's how it started. He just came in, and he just, when I fell apart, he just grabbed me and just hugged me for like 10 minutes and just said, oh, my God, had I known this, I would have had you in sooner, because this is like about maybe 2 months before I had to come in for my follow-up. So he didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. So I'm there. He just hugged me. And then he, you know, had the nurse come in and, you know, sit with me while he called, and he blasted them out. Mm-hmm. And then he said, you know, you can't drive. Is there anyone I can call? So I had him call my sister and for her to come and get me. So, of course, now she's like, oh, my God, you know, because we're all in shock. And
okay, when do you get out of shock?
I just went through it, because I went from his office to the surgeon.
No, so, that same day.
That same day he got me in. You know, I was in his office
God,
in the
girl,
morning.
How do you do that?
That afternoon, I guess it was that parent energy, I call it, because all I could think about were my kids.
Yeah, okay,
you well. Know, single mom. They know I lost my mother to breast cancer. How do I tell them this? And you know, without thinking gloom and doom kind of stuff, but you know, how do I tell them? So he, after he called the, you know, temple, not temple, it was over at Church Street that I had the exam, the biopsy. So he, got me into, oh Lord, I can't even think of the man's name. Oh gosh. To this, it'll come to me, to the surgeon. Cause it wasn't,
okay, that's
him.
All right.
But, so I went over, that afternoon, and both my sisters went with me, and so he explained everything, and you know, told me that it was like a stage zero, but you know, in order to catch it in time and treat it, he told me that I would need to do a lumpectomy, and then I would see the oncologist for treatment.
And what is a lumpectomy?
Where you have the tumor removed, and mm-hmm. any lymph nodes in that area they
okay.
remove and biopsy, just to see if it has a you know, tendency to be, you know, metastatic. So
okay,
so that to see if it will spread. So I, and it was crazy, like I said, I just I was just numb throughout this. And the only energy I mustered up was enough to pull my kids aside when they came to home from school that day. You know, luckily I was off from work, but and it was just so ironic because I was like the fourth person at my job to have breast cancer. It was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So here I was being supportive of all of this, the other staff, and now here I am going through the same same thing. So it was really that day was just a blur. And he said, you know, I need you to bring other people with you because you won't hear a word I'm saying, you know,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, which was, you know, I heard it, but it was like I was yeah. the outer body experience.
I mean, it happened so quick. Oh, my God.
Yes.
So how did y'all find your way to Sister's Journey?
I did my treatment too at St. Rafe's, and by way of I joined the support group.
So you knew you needed a support group.
Yes,
like
so,
you
yes.
you knew that you needed to like be in the company of other women
yes.
to understand like what makes you join the support group.
It's almost like when you have breast cancer, you just attract yourself to other women who have breast cancer. And
uh-huh.
the hospital also the doctor and the social workers will share with you about the different support.
And that's what they did
and
while I was
so
going there.
There are so many services available.
Stay close to the mic.
There are so many services available when you have breast cancer. At least that's the way
mm-hmm.
at St. Rayfield's. I mean,
they were
just very good. They
uh-huh.
were very good. And I'm sorry that St. Rayfield's program had closed their cancer
mm-hmm.
program. Because it was like a family.
It was.
Know? It was just. You
so
know,
where are you all now in your story, in your journey? I mean, are you completely cancer-free? Are you,
I mean, knock on wood.
Okay.
In remission.
Remission, but, you know, I don't have a fear, but there's always in the back of
it's always there.
That, you know, it may come back, but I don't live with fear.
I mean, do you feel hypervigilant? I mean, do you feel like, you know, you're always checking, like... I mean, has this made you much more concerned about your own well-being and health? Like when you go to the doctor, you make sure you check all the boxes and...
Well, I'm always,
yes.
whenever I go for my mammogram, I do get a little anxious and I have to have the sonogram because I have such dense breasts.
Uh-huh.
And every time they stop at a spot and it's sensitive and you know, it they stay there. It's like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, you know, and especially if it hurts, you know, it's like, oh, Lord. And I know that if I have another journey, they can take these
Ooh,
breasts.
That's exactly what I said.
Take them off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need them.
Okay.
Okay.
Nope. That's
really
exactly
okay.
where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you too?
Yes. Because I had another scare with the other breast and I was like, okay, you just
take
set the, you know, set
yeah.
the surgery, you know, up for it because I'm not going through this again. But it ended up being, you know, not anything because I was having leakage and stuff. And, you know, I did that same crazy, what, stereo-optic where you lay down and you're hanging and you're, you know, just there while they're looking all around and doing needle biopsies and all kind of stuff. So I just said, you know what, if there's something here, you can just set me up. And luckily that it wasn't that. It was some kind of a cyst. That they just told me don't worry about, and if the drainage changes color, and then you become concerned. But I told them, well, if I have anything going on,
yeah.
you know, I'm going to be back here because I don't, you know, I don't mess around with.
And
with
I
that.
Did go the second time, and I had chemo the second time.
Mm-hmm.
It was different. It
mm-hmm.
was, you know, I had all the symptoms
mm-hmm.
that the diarrhea and lost my hair.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I didn't know what was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was, I don't know. You know, you just go through it. You know,
mm-hmm.
you just go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just quite surprised that I had it so soon. And at
mm-hmm.
that time, I had the genetic testing because it's like, well, do I have cancer someplace else? And why did
mm-hmm.
it come back? And had to push through the insurance to be able to get the genetic
testing. Oh, my God, that was a nightmare.
Yeah, and that was a nightmare.
Yes.
And, you know, thank God for a good doctor. you know, that really push for that. Mm-hmm. You have to have a good team. You have to trust your team.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the other thing, you know, I'm older, but young women and especially African American women are getting breast cancer.
Yes, they are.
Much.
Yeah, I don't think we should be waiting till 40.
No.
Don't wait. You push your doctor. Your doctor doesn't do it, you go to another doctor because there's too many young black women
where it's
getting breast cancer that are under 40.
And I have a daughter, and I told her, you know, your from pediatrics, and now she's going to be 25. I said, you know, so we go to the same OBGYN doctor. So I said, she needs this sooner.
And make sure that young women, young black, and white women too, just if you have a history of any kind of cancer in your family, you let your doctors
Let your doctors know.
You know, and because
did you have cancer in your family,
Paula? Not my immediate family.
Okay.
You know, my uncle had cancer. But no, I have to take that back. My sister had. She did. But I had forgotten, you know, and she was young. But no, you know, and even now, you know, I have a condition in my eye that most people that have diabetes have, and I don't, you know, and the doctor can't figure out why I have it, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just follow up with your doctor. You try to eat healthy. I think the thing that helped me in my journey is that I was exercising. And I pushed myself when I was going through chemo and radiation. I don't care how tired I was, I still got up and walked. And I really think that helped me physically and emotionally to do that. So you try to stay with your routine. And I try, you know, I had to cut things down, but I tried to stay consistently. And, you know, I would laugh, you know, because I like to shop. But, you know, I would try to shop, but I had to always know where the bathroom was. Because, you know, you had diarrhea when I had chemo. You know, so you had to plan out things. My nose bled for a year.
Oh, wow.
Even after my chemo. I mean, so I would go through a box of Kleenex in a week. You know, I mean, I don't think people really notice, but it was like, when is my nose going to stop bleeding? You know, and, you know. But,
and it was a side effect?
It was a side effect of chemo. Oh, wow. You know, and then, you know, my heart. I had to stop. I had HER2, which is, and I didn't know it was so invasive, but because of the medicine, I forgot, Herceptin, that damaged my heart. So I had to stop taking that, you know. But, you know, technology also, I'm so thankful for technology because every month there's something new for breast cancer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So do you stay a member of a support group after you are in remission? Do you stay connected?
I Sister's Journey, that's my connection. I started out with that same Rayfields, and then after a while, then they underwent all these changes, and a lot of, you know, a couple of the social worker and the facilitator, their positions change. And I guess at that point they knew the Yale-St. Rayfields merger was about to take place. So our group just kind of fizzled out there because they pretty much wanted us to go over to Yale. But our St. Raphael's group was a close-knit group because it wasn't just breast cancer, because some of the other people, you know, with different types of cancer, they came, but it was primarily breast, butt. And even there were some men there that had breast cancer. So we kind of grew, you know, I went to that group for, about 5 years. And then when that change started taking place, it was interesting. Shortly after that, I was at, because I would go to the breast cancer, the walk at the lighthouse with St. Raphael's people. But then I met someone who said, hey, would you like to be on the calendar? Do you know about Sister's Journey? And I had heard of Sister's Journey because, you know, I know Dawn. I've known Dawn when she was younger. So I was like, oh, okay, sure, I'll be on the calendar.
And what month are you? What month were you?
April 2009.
Okay. All right.
And so I went through that and I was like, oh, okay. And my first, that was my first luncheon. And after that, I was like, oh, I got to be a part of this, because I was okay. I didn't, you know, cry, even talking about, you know, your little piece when you get up and stand up and you're recognized. But what really hit me was when all of the women in at the luncheon, they all stood up that have had this journey. That's when you're like, oh, my God, you know, I'm not alone. I'm never alone in this. I mean, we all, you know, whoever our higher power is, we all have that. But just to look out in that audience
and see. Yeah, it is quite powerful.
Oh, my God.
That's, I was there last year.
Tears just started flowing, but it was tears of joy. And that's when I said, okay, this is something I've got to be a part of ongoing. And then also to try to educate, like I'm always educating my daughter.
I was
going to
ask you, what advice would you give women?
What advice, you know,
to, like, what would you give with it? What advice would you give women? Yes, go get your mammograms.
Go get your mammogram.
And stay on top of doing that annually or whenever they tell you to come do it.
Well, I mean, I've taught my all, like, they're all my daughters, my daughter and her friends, how to do the breast exams, to do this monthly, because you will begin to know, have a relationship with your own breasts, so you will know anything.
That's a
different.
Good point. So, that is such a good point. Yeah. Are you surprised at the number of women who don't even touch their own breasts?
I am.
Horrified,
they're
right?
Like, oh, what? You know, do what? I'm like, yes.
Well, and train your boyfriends to check. How about,
you know,
that?
Oh, my,
your
husband. My son. I said, listen, this is, you know, men are no exception. You know, I taught him how to do, you know, testicular exam. I said, share this with your friends because they'll receive it better coming from you. But, oh, yeah. Oh, yes, because it's just amazing how they don't really, you know, they don't think about that. At all.
And cancer is probably one of the number one killers of Black women.
Yes, it is.
Yes, you know.
Even today. Because today, a lot of us still, you know, with this whole craziness with insurance and everything.
Yeah, and it doesn't even matter.
We don't want to go
where
to the doctors.
Where you are.
No.
Yeah, we don't want to go to the doctors. And I find that challenging because, you know.
We have the mecca of all medical facilities.
Right here
in New Haven.
And payment cannot be the reason. Because they have to take
it. Even that genetic test, it took me like a couple of years to go back and forth with insurance and as to why I do not need to pay this bill. I was told I didn't need to pay this bill. And I think at the, you know, I didn't go to last one, but the one before that, I brought this up because they had someone speaking at Sister's Journey about this. Because if you don't even have an inkling about health or insurance, health care and stuff, You'll get frustrated trying to go back and forth with insurance companies. Finally, you know, after debating, you know, this $4,000 bill, I finally reached one person who said, Miss Austin, you don't have to pay for this bill. This is what I'm going to do for you.
Uh-huh.
And now they, you know, they have navigators that are like, you know what, if you want to get tested again, because back then, I mean, now they have all this high-tech
stuff. Yeah, now they can tell you more.
Yes. They said it will not be a problem. You just come over here to Smilo and we will take care of it.
Okay.
You don't have to go through all of that.
That's got to be pretty good to hear that.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, and here I am, a nurse, and I'm going back and forth and explaining to them. I'm like, if people don't even, you know, aren't in the health field or anything, they would give up. Yes. They would give up.
Yeah.
It's like, you shouldn't have to fight for tests and healthcare needs.
Uh-huh.
Because it's cheaper to you know, to do prevention rather than having surgery.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you're absolutely right. So, as we wind down this show in a few more minutes, so what was the most prolific thing that you learned going through this journey? Like, what did you learn about yourself as going through this journey?
Well, that, I need to always listen to my body.
Okay.
And always be an advocate of myself.
Mm-hmm. Because women, Black women are good of saying, oh, you know what? I don't feel good, but I don't feel bad. You know, because we wait.
Go on.
Yes, we go on.
Yeah,
we wait until we're damn near dead before we actually.
Yes, we
because
do.
We endure the whatever it was
endure
like, oh, it's
pain.
Not that. It's not that bad.
It's
but it is that
bad.
Bad. Okay, that's good. So listening to your body. Mm-hmm. Paulette.
And to live life, to live life to its fullest each and every day, to value yourself, to love yourself. and that there's a purpose and reason for everything in our life.
Yes.
And to look up and to be thankful.
Yes.
And that there's a lesson in everything, and there's a blessing.
So do you feel more, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Does that make you excited? Does it make you thoughtful? What does it do for you when this month comes around every year and everybody's in pink? And
it makes me embrace it more and say, you know what? This is our time to really, really shine and get the word out.
Okay.
And it makes me more of an advocate to teach other people and to let them know that, you know what? I'm here just like all these other survivors. Mm-hmm. You can get through this.
Okay.
And if I can, you know, help you get through this, like when I learn of new family members or friends, I share with them the information about Sister's journey. And I just tell them, you know, I've been through that. You know, everyone's journey is different. Mm-hmm. However, I'm here if you need a support person to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've also found out other family members after my journey. I was just, it's the numbers of breast cancer, breast cancer incidents in different, like you said, young, older, it's just alarming.
Mm-hmm.
So I also share that with family, you know, with everyone, that if I can be there just to listen to you, just call me. I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
It makes me more appreciative of my husband, my friends, my family that were there for me. I had girlfriends that called me every day, checked on me near and far. You know, my husband was there every step of the way. So just it brings me back to remembrance,
mm-hmm.
And appreciation and thankfulness. And that I want to help somebody too. Mm-hmm. I want to help someone to, to make sure that they check their bodies and to educate, and particularly young African American women. And I appreciate Sister's Journey, although I don't go every month, but there's so much education that mm-hmm. they share for us. They do not always have speakers every month, but when they do, it's information mm-hmm. to help us
mm-hmm.
To share with
Will you be at the Pink Tea?
Yes,
of
I will.
Course.
I'll be there too.
Oh, great.
I'll be your MC.
Yes,
yes.
So it's October 26th.
October 26th.
At the Mohegan Sun Casino in Uncasville, 1 o'clock. And I tell you, I was so moved last year. Last year was the first time I've ever come.
Oh, really?
And I was so moved. I sat at a table with women who were so gracious to share their story. And pretty much what y'all are doing here, talking about their journey and the importance of education and advocacy. So I thank you, Paulette, and Rhonda, for coming this morning and sharing a bit of your story with us. And I will see you on the 26th.
And thank you for giving us this opportunity.
Oh, it's my pleasure. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, people. Women, men, get out there, get those tatas checked.
That's right.
As Rhonda said, get to know your own breast, become familiar with them. And thank you so much. Thank you, Brian. I'm going to play us out with a little lovely day. And I will see you all soon. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
When I wake up in the morning, love.
Hi, this is Babs.
And the sunlight hurts my eyes. And something without warning, love. Bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you. And the world's all right with me. Just one look at you. And I know it's gone.